Take your business beyond fast with connectivity and network solutions from Comcast Business. Nationwide, secure, reliable. Powered by the nation's largest gig speed network.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, March 12th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal. Once every 10 years, the U.S. counts all the people living in the country, the census. That count starts today. But this time, tens of millions of households will have the option to fill out their form online. And that's not the only new tech the Census Bureau is using. News editor Janet Adamy will tell us all about it and where people have concerns right after these headlines. Amazon is planning to offer paid sick leave to all workers affected by the coronavirus pandemic, including its part-time warehouse staff. Most Amazon employees who have desk jobs have already been directed to work from home, but that's not an option for warehouse workers. Last week, Amazon gave all of its workers the option to take an unlimited amount of unpaid time off through the end of March without being penalized. But after some employees complained that they couldn't afford to take time off, Amazon expanded the policy to offer paid sick leave. The company is also planning to announce a $25 million relief fund for its delivery partners and drivers. And we'll see how that affects deliveries. We've been talking about how disinformation about the virus continues to crop up online. Now, governments around the world are working to improve their information sharing practices with social media and tech companies. The European Union is reviving a rapid alert system it created last year with Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Twitter, and Mozilla. It was originally set up to combat fake news during elections in Europe. The tech companies will keep governments informed about how they're combating disinformation campaigns, and they've promised to remove information that could be dangerous to public health and prioritize messages from national health authorities and the World Health Organization. And speaking of information about the coronavirus, The Wall Street Journal is lifting the paywall on some of our virus coverage. You can head to WSJ.com to check it out. After the break, the U.S. government is kicking off its 2020 census. But a lot's changed in the world since the last census a decade ago. Our news editor, Janet Adamy, will join us to talk about all the tech the Census Bureau is using for this year's count.
Comcast Business connectivity and network solutions help drive IoT devices, AI, and virtual network applications at peak performance to improve efficiency and customer experience for your business. Rely on Comcast Business for nationwide, secure, reliable performance powered by a gig speed network. Comcast Business, beyond fast.
The government is kicking off the 2020 census today. Tens of millions of households in the U.S. will be asked to turn over a bunch of demographic information about themselves. That data is expected to paint a picture of a country that's older, less urban, and more multilingual than it was at the last census count 10 years ago. Fittingly, since the country has changed so much, so has the U.S. Census Bureau. They're using new technology to conduct this year's count. Joining us to talk more about it is one of our news editors, Janet Adamy. Janet, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
All right, so tell us a little bit about the technology that the Census Bureau is using this year.
So this is the first time in history that most Americans will be able to use the internet to get on and answer their census form. In fact, everybody is going to be able to enter their census responses online. A small number of households will still get the paper questionnaires. Those are primarily going to be targeted at people who live in areas where there isn't very good internet connectivity. But it's a big change. For essentially all of American history, this has been a paper and pencil operation. And now it's essentially all going to move to the internet.
And then what happens if people don't respond to that?
So people will start getting the questionnaire prompts in their mail starting again today through about March 20th. And if you don't respond, you'll get some initial follow-up mailers urging you to go online, answer your census form. If you don't respond, you are likely to see a census taker show up at your door. They will be asking you to put your responses in via an app that each census taker will have on their iPhone. And the Census Bureau is actually issuing iPhones specifically for this task.
So there's a lot of technology going on there. Some lawmakers and watchdogs have raised concerns about this new high-tech approach. What are they saying? What are they concerned about?
They have. The concern is that the Census Bureau has been working on this for years, and yet the government watchdogs have been watching this for most of that period of time. And they say that there are indications that the system essentially isn't ready for prime time. I think one of the most concerning is questions. Lawmakers have raised questions about whether the cybersecurity measures are tight enough. The Government Accountability Office has indicated that they don't feel that all of the cybersecurity recommendations that they've made have been fully implemented. Now, the Census Bureau is saying that everything is safe. People should feel confident in their data. But the watchdogs do still have some concerns that there could be more that could be done on that front. I think the other concern, too, is can a government-run website handle millions of people logging onto it at the same time? And what I'm being told from the Census Bureau is that they feel very confident. They did have to switch to a backup system earlier last month, but they are confident that that can handle a heavy amount of web traffic. Certainly people remember in 2013 when healthcare.gov essentially collapsed when Americans started logging on. What we're being told is that this is a very different system. It's primarily a cloud-based system, which was not the case for healthcare.gov. So if something were to happen to it, if there was some kind of a malfunction with part of it or some kind of a security breach, one essentially cluster of that data system could be taken offline. The other clusters can come in. So the bottom line is the expectation is that the system should be able to withstand the traffic, but it's a first, so there's always risk with that.
I think I'd just like to back up and remind people of the importance of the data that we're talking about here. I mean, it sounds, you know, like a, in some ways, like a yellow pages to some people, right? Who lives where and what? But the reality is that this data is used to determine how many lawmakers represent you. It's used to determine how much money states get, right? So you could imagine that there's a lot of fear about that kind of data being hacked because it has so many repercussions, could have so many implications if that happened.
It does, and that's why the Census Bureau is taking it very seriously. As you pointed out, yes, getting a proper and accurate count of the population is incredibly important for all corners of American life. The thing that I think people are most familiar with is census counts determine how many seats in the House of Representatives each state gets. It also determines electoral votes. Those are essentially all readjusted based on population gains and loss every 10 years after the census is complete. But it also guides things down way down to the local level, as granular as, you know, how school boards may be set up, again, all based on population. And then businesses also use the information to make investment decisions, things like where do you open a supermarket or what kind of an area could, you know, support a new shopping center. I think the concern is always that certain parts of the population are more difficult to count than other parts. So, for example, homeowners are easier to count. People who don't count homes are harder. And we know that since 2010, we've had a big increase in the number of Americans who are not homeowners. Minorities and immigrants are often harder to count. There was an effort by the Trump administration to try to ask about citizenship on this census. That effort was, in effect, blocked by the Supreme Court. But there's a concern that maybe some immigrants and other people of color may not be as willing to respond to this census as they might have been in a previous era.
Another tech-related concern that's come up in recent weeks around the census has been misinformation online. And the question about citizenship is obviously one that was debated hotly because people were afraid that minorities or people who had friends or neighbors or who themselves were undocumented might not fill out the census for fears of repercussions. Now we're seeing misinformation coming online. What is the Census Bureau doing to try to protect against fake news about the census leading up to Thursday?
Yeah, so this is also one of the big ways in which the technology, despite making the census a lot easier to conduct and more efficient to conduct, does introduce these new vulnerabilities. And one of the main ones that the Bureau is citing is the fact that disinformation could be spread on social media. We got a taste of this week when the Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee had been sending out what they call the 2020 Congressional District Census. It asks a lot of detailed questions about, you know, which news sources do you like, and, you know, which issues are most important. important to you, things that would never be, will not be on the census, that are far beyond the reach of the census. Then it also asked for donations of between $15 to $1,000. So that wasn't a real census, but I certainly heard from readers who were confused by it. Facebook started posting ads around that effort, and it put Facebook and the administration in a very difficult position because the administration, and specifically the Census Bureau, had really pushed Facebook, as along with other social media companies, to take efforts to block the spread of what it deemed disinformation about the census. At the same time, this was, the Trump administration is in the White House and there are political appointees in the census. So it was a kind of a delicate issue. Eventually, Facebook did agree that they would take those campaign ads down.
So I guess going forward, everybody at the census sounds like they feel confident. Do they have a backup plan if something goes awry?
Yeah, I have seen some other reports suggesting that there are more paper forms being printed. And I think, you know, the other question mark is, of course, as with everything else in American life right now, the coronavirus, those census takers that are going to be knocking on doors later this spring. I've heard from some people in field offices who are concerned that, you know, these jobs are, you know, a lot of retirees may be taking these field office jobs to be a part-time census taker. Well, if you're somebody who might be more vulnerable, do you really want to spend your whole day knocking on the doors of strangers and take on what could be some additional risk? That door knocking operation doesn't get started until later this spring, so I think there's a lot of time for them to sort that out. But that's certainly one wrinkle in all of this that could be problematic.
All right. Editor Janet Adamy, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. If you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. You can rate and review us in your app store. And we want to know what you want to know. Do you have ideas about Tech News Briefing? DM us on Twitter @WSJ Podcasts. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.